You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
Indeed, it is Saturday morning here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network, where we take a look at all things Wisconsin sports, and we do that with a full panel of people from around Civic Media. I'm Jimmy Kuska taking you through this morning, and joining me today, Parker Olson in Madison. Parker, what's going on?
Doing pretty good, Jimmy. I am feeling refreshed.
Refreshed. That's the right word for the middle of winter. Conrad in Green Bay. What's going on, man?
Hey, you know, I'm just battling the January sniffles, but, you know, I'm getting better.
Well, we're heading to like 40 below by Monday, so probably weather-wise not going to help you out too much here. And of course, knowing that, we head to the frozen north and Gray Gunderson in Park Falls. Gray, what's up, man?
I'm going to do my best Parker impression. Doing pretty good. Feeling depressed.
Oh, no.
Well done.
So we're going to have an hour of therapy here as part of Make the Call. I am Jimmy Kuska, and in our first half hour, we'll be on the roundtable. Second half hour, going to hear from Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer. Going to go through the transfer portal for football and talk about men's hoops, which they've had a couple of exciting games recently, and we'll talk about that with Jake coming up. Later in the show, Mike Clements will provide his usual sports update for us here as part of Make the Call. But we start the show here at 7 in the morning with our top 7 at 7, our top 7 sports stories at 7 in the morning. And sometimes these aren't sports. Sometimes they're not even that important to the overall thing. But sometimes we like to have fun, like we will here at number 7. The Winter Olympics begin in just a couple of weeks. We've seen some of the teams finalized this week. We've seen a number of people from Wisconsin get added to a handful of the teams competing in the Winter Olympics. So I have to ask all of you this. Which Winter Olympic sport do you think you could not embarrass yourself in if you had to compete? I will open this up to the entire roundtable. Which Winter Olympic sport do you think you could least embarrass yourself in?
I think I'd do something with snowboarding, maybe, because when I was younger, I still know how to snowboard, so I maybe do that.
I think I could probably hold my own after a practice run of curling. Once I get the feel for it, I'm probably going to be okay. I can hold my own.
You beat me to it, Parker. I was going to say I'd consult those local experts and just kind of do whatever it is they tell me. You got the dad bod accessible sport. That might not be my profile, but I think it's a good measure for whether I could do the job. The other one, let's be real, there's a couple of them involve shooting the rifle downrange. I got some practice there too. Think I could get her done. Don't know about that skiing stuff though.
I have no idea what that accent is, Gray, but I love it. Number 6 in the top 7. All right, let's talk some sports. The Dodgers are out spending gobs of money again. And the question we ask every offseason as a Brewers fans, knowing that we're never going to be that team that's spending, you know, a couple hundred million dollars on a player. Does baseball need a salary cap? Conrad, are we at the point where we just got to cap this thing off? Because the Dodgers payroll, I think, is more half billionaires than not half billionaires.
Yeah, I totally think so. I mean, last year, we kind of figured the Dodgers were going to win already. This year, I'm already like, all right, they're going for another one. All right, cool. Because they just signed Kyle Tucker, who, I mean, is great. Fantastic baseball player. But it's just, it's making the league kind of unfair. But, you know, all the Twitter merchants that say, well, just get more money for your team. Get more money. I'm like, well, it's, we can't, how are we supposed to do that? But, you know, it's, I'm thinking to make the league fair again, we need to establish something out there that these teams like the Brewers, who don't spend that much money, can compete still.
Yeah, it's really difficult, Conrad. You kind of hit the nail on the head there with the Brewers. It's hard to compete like that because small markets, obviously the money just isn't there. And frankly, I love small market teams, and we can't take away those teams. And that's not just because I'm a fan of the Packers and the Brewers. I think that's a really valuable thing. I think that there needs to be a salary cap so that those teams can have a little bit more fair of a shot.
I think Wisconsin sports in general, whether it's Packers or Brewers that you point to, the Bucks may be a little bit of a more traditional case, but the small market team thing is sweet. It's cute. It adds a couple fans, but it is actually overall, you could say, a limitation, because if you want to increase revenue, like you said, Conrad, get more money, that means get more fans. And there's kind of a finite number of them to go around in the first place. So what do you do? Increase interest in the sport? That's what they're spending a lot of marketing dollars on already. That's exactly what we're already trying to do. So is it even possible to do that in the first place is my question.
Well, the Brewers, for their point, they don't have a TV partner right now. Their stadium just got publicly financed. So we know in baseball that things are not in the trend of or in the way of the Brewers. I know for the Bucks, it's interesting. The number one team that is being used in NBA 2K careers is the Milwaukee Bucks. So there is some interest in the Bucks. Although I think it's just more of a recognition that even video game players know that Giannis needs help. So there you go. Let's move to number five in the top 7 at 7. And this is kind of a loaded question. We're going to probably spend a lot more time on this later, but I got to ask about some of the offseason changes. Let's do this. What would be the two biggest changes you would make this offseason for the Packers? And I'm going to start with Gray.
The two biggest, well, it's difficult to say how I would change what I want to change, so I might have to answer this in a couple different ways, but I'd like to start with the thing that I'd like to change the best. I'm sorry to warp your question that way, but it's the attitude. Whatever it might take to change the overall attitude, Javon Bullard, the Packers star player, whatever, he plays a kind of a unique position on defense, but he said something that was, well, laden with swear words, so I'm going to paraphrase. But in essence, he basically said that some teams in the NFL, when they're stepping on their opponent's necks, when they have the lead, they talk smack, where other teams press down harder. And he went on to basically say the Packers are talkers, and that has to change. And is that tangible? Does it point to something specific that, you know, a knob that needs to be twisted? No, but it speaks to a mentality that fans will agree with. There's been a general trend, a lot of won games, but the ones that are lost are kind of lost at about halftime, and you can feel it. And it's halfway through the third quarter. It's like, man, we're going to lose this one, aren't we? And it's too consistent. It's kind of like that Jordan Love deep ball off his back foot. He can't keep getting away with it. It can't keep happening, but it does.
Gray, I think that you and I have got a very similar answer here. I was going to say the philosophy needs to change. And I'm sure we'll get deeper into that a little bit later. And then also, sorry to be that guy, but I'm going to keep on going at it. Rich Bisaccia needs to leave. That's my second biggest need to get change.
Gray, you've been talking about these talkers. We need one of these talkers off the team completely. Man, his name is Keyshawn Nixon. All right.
Ooh.
He talks the most smack I've ever seen for a guy who is not good. And it's every single game. And, you know, at the end of the year, he said he completed all of his goals. And I said, okay, so he got one tackle, one pass breakup, and said, all right, I'm going to coast for the rest of the year and talk a lot of smack. That I don't even need to say anything else besides Gary to get them off the team so we can save some money.
Those two would be the perfect litmus tests for whether the attitude has shifted, because the thing that irritates me the most about both those guys is that they're incredibly capable of high-level play. The way that Nixon played for 4 or 5 games and Gary played for 7, 8, maybe even 9 before he just vanished off the map, that's sustainable success for a defense and just poof. So yeah, I agree with you both. You both, I think, nailed it. The attitude and special teams. There's a reason they're keeping Rich. I don't know what it is. I think he has dirt on somebody.
We have a lot to talk about with the Packers coming up. We actually got a couple more in our top 7 at 7 rundown, so we'll come back to that in just a minute. But because this is a therapy session on Make the Call, number 4 in our top 7 at 7, is Badgers basketball. The only good thing going right now in Wisconsin sports. They've had some exciting games lately, and I just feel like if we're looking around and looking at the Bucks and we're like, looking at the Packers, and we're still kind of crushed by that, Brewers have the postseason exit. We got to find something to feel good about, right?
I can give you a short and sweet answer on this one. I'll give you the short and sweet, I think. Is it the only good thing? No, but does it feel like it? Yeah, kind of, and you're not wrong for feeling like it. Conrad, what were you going to say? Sorry about that.
No, I'm just going to say it's great when the Badgers are good at basketball, and this kind of stretch that they've been playing and winning some games, I love it. And it's great when the team can really lean on John Blackwell, who declared for the draft last year but came back. And I think this year he could be potentially one of the best players in the NCAA.
I said last week that the Badgers might not be better than an 8 seed in the tournament. I think I was wrong. But also, I'll raise you one. Badger hockey, men's and women's. That also is what's good in Wisconsin sports, my friends.
Very, very good. I just look at the women's team. I think they're all Olympians, right? Speaking of the Winter Olympics, number 3 in our top 7 at 7. We're going to go back to the Packers just for a second. What's next for the Packers defense? Halfley, their defensive coordinator, he's interviewing right now for head coaching gigs. So to me, you know, with 9 openings, chances are pretty good that he's going to find a new job. I know that we've all lived through some pretty questionable defensive coordinators. I think that the fire Dom Capers hashtag was probably used once or twice, but during that run. But like the defense this year at times looked awesome, and especially the first part of the year. I'm just curious what your thoughts are. What happens next if Papley does take a head coaching job?
Key playmakers is what I'm going to point to most, is when the Packers were good on defense and when they weren't. That is kind of what stands out to me most. If Halfley leaves, you're going to have to get some guys who can be key playmakers predominantly in that secondary. That is the primary thing that I think is the next step for a Packer defense that needs to take a look in the mirror and say, how can we get better? And I think looking at the secondary is one of those things.
Having Micah Parsons back next year is a big part, I think, because, I mean, he definitely is a leader, and he definitely has a presence. You can feel it. When he's on the field, it feels like this team wants to win, but when he's off, it is like a sad defense. And I think with Micah Parsons back, it will definitely give us a little spirit, I think.
Agreed. I think both of you nailed it, and in fact, Parker, you pointed out a limitation or a need that's going to need to be met. Conrad, you pointed to one of the reasons the job might be attractive. I personally think those two things kind of combine, and players like Micah Parsons and other ones who we might not even think of offhand, people like Edge Coop, for example, who had a massive impact on every game he played in, those players make the Packers defense a more attractive opening than it's probably ever been. You know, this has been the best opening on the defense for a long time because it's hot off the heels of talent rather than, hey, we've been stinking and we need a change. It's, hey, we've been doing good, so we're required to change. That's a different thing. I like it. Parker, you look like you've got ideas.
I do. I said to a buddy of mine something very similar to that. With Halfley, maybe he's interviewing for these head coaching jobs. He's probably going to take one, let's be honest. But there is part of me that thinks maybe he knows how good of a situation he's in. He's already got such good key players. He's already got Micah Parsons. He's already got an Edge Coop. There are guys on that team that I think he might want to have another year with and see if he can have a full season with those guys healthy and really put the dagger in at his time in Green Bay and finish on a strong note with some key guys there. He's going to leave. But a part of me thinks he might not leave because of that.
We're going to move quickly to number two in our top seven at seven, and we'll get back to the Packers offseason discussion here in just a second. The Bucs, man, it is just not a good year this year. How bad are the Bucs? Things feel a little lost for the Bucs right now.
When Milwaukee fans are booing you, you know you're doing something wrong because they're one of the most hardcore fan bases for a basketball team, and they're booing Giannis, you know, and it's just like, I don't understand how this team is that bad. Like, it could be better, but they're terrible right now. No, there's like no urgency of like anything on the team. Like, just watching it, you feel sad.
Painfully bad is my answer, Jimmy. They are painfully bad to have one of the top players in the world and not even be really sniffing .500 record is painful.
I think, you know, some of these bench players and are just not doing their part, especially Kuzma. That guy is like, you never know what you're going to get from him, because I saw one game where he played like 23 minutes and had 2 points. So I blame it on mostly the what they're surrounding Giannis in. Because it's not good.
It'll be number one in our top seven at seven coming up here right after the break. Later in the show, Jake Kokorowski from Badger Observer will break down the transfer portal with us with football and all the new acquisitions and talk some hoops as well. Mike Clemens later in the show with a sports update. This is Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Jimmy Cuska here with you with the full roundtable back, Conrad, Parker, and Gray. And it brings us to number one in our top seven at seven. And the question is, as we tease going into the break, is whether or not a team that recently ended their season should make changes at the top, and that would be the Packers. After the collapse against the Bears, a lot of people were calling for change, whether it's the head coach, whether it's the assistant coaches, the GM. There's a lot of different theories floating out there about what the Packers should do. So my question to all of you is for your take on this. Should the Packers make a change? And I open that up to the full roundtable here for our number one in our top seven at seven. And because it's a Packers question, I will steer it right over to Gray.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'm going to open it up with a firm but not rock solid no, they should not. I don't think we're right there on a reset. And it might just be because we're at the 1 year point before general manager Brian Gutekunst is due for a contract extension or a release of some kind. So we've got a very conveniently timed contract and a fresh team president, Ed Policy, just came in. So we're kind of poised to make those changes next season if we need to. And on top of that, I think the existing staff has done enough to earn at least one more year. The way I would phrase it is that the Packers may or may not need to change head coaches. I don't think they do, but they absolutely need their head coach to make changes. There's no way that Green Bay can get the same thing out of Matt LaFleur next year out that they got this year, and it's the same as last year and the same as the year before, and expect any different than, well, clearly a wild card round exit. Three in a row, three consecutive seventh seeds. We broke up with Mike McCarthy when things were still kind of good and things still felt possible. So we're not completely strangers to those hard decisions when they're necessary. I think they will become necessary if one more year goes by and we don't see obvious signs that LaFleur understands how serious it is. You know, Bisaccia gone, players benched, you know, those disruptive changes. And yeah, sometimes those are what coaches do on their way out when they've got no other options. That might be what we need to see. Parker, am I too desperate? Am I taking it too far?
No, I don't think so. I will say something that I have always believed is you cannot be upset with a season that ended in the playoffs, right? Like, it's kind of absurd to say that you made it to the playoffs and you need to get rid of everything. Like, in a way, that doesn't make any sense because you're obviously, you're right there. You're pretty darn close to winning a championship if you're getting into the playoffs. But the Packers have got, like you said, it's been year after year of this for LaFleur. They get to the playoffs and they don't perform. Jordan Love, if I remember correctly, he has one win in the playoffs against the Cowboys. Albeit I love that game, and I would love to see more of those games, though, right? We want to see the Packers go into the playoffs and beat up on somebody. Or I don't even need them to beat up on anybody. I just need them to actually win in the playoffs, and we're not getting that right now with LaFleur. I kind of think that LaFleur needs to change. Like you were talking about earlier about, I can't remember who it was that had that quote about you either talk or you keep pushing on their necks when you're winning. That's something that the Packers need to get better at. If they do not have any improvement in that department next year, I am going to raise a lot of alarms. With a couple of key changes, I think, with some personnel perhaps on the defensive side of the ball, I think that they can make that step. And with that philosophy change offensively, particularly, I think that step can be made too. Conrad, what are you thinking? Is that philosophy, does that need just a little tweak, or do they need to actually like really turn it up to 10?
I mean, yeah, they need to change the philosophy because we're in Green Bay. We're used to winning. We're used to, you know, championships, you know, all that stuff. But it doesn't feel like in the last, you know, however many years that we're that team anymore, that just has that legacy. One thing that I can say that we need to burn down is the special teams, because it sucks. McManus, you know, I don't know what happened to him. Maybe his injury got him really bad. I would say keep him to see if he can kick still, but I'd look for a new kicker somewhere. I'd also say, you know, the defense, we got hit with the injury bug this year, I know. And it with this defense fully healthy, I think we're one corner away from being one of the best defenses in the league. And the offense is there, just needs to establish a run game for sure, not just lean heavy on Jordan Love. I mean, we got Josh Jacobs. So it felt weird having that disappear, you know, towards the end of the year. And I never really saw Josh Jacobs kind of be himself with the injury, but just the last game too when we lost. There was like 2 yards in the last half. So I just establish some of these key things that we need to do next year and totally redo special teams.
I would point to one particular player. You mentioned Brandon McManus. He was 3 of 7 from beyond 40, or 3 of 7 from 40 to 49 yards, and 3 of 5 from 50 plus. Therefore, he was 6 of 12 from beyond 40. And each, there were 4 games, 4 losses in which missed kicks accounted for enough points. Can you say that we would have won them? No, but we would have won a couple of them. I agree with you, Conrad. Special teams might be the hallmark of the failure this season.
The McManus thing was really disappointing. I don't remember if we talked about this last week or not. I think we did about a while ago when Haversick was a substitute teacher, was substitute kicking.
Yes.
We asked, should they have stuck with Haversick? And I don't remember what the split was here. I know that I said, yeah, he's got a hot hand. Let's keep with it. I just saw that he's going to be on the team still. So I'm okay with bringing him back and maybe having a little bit more competition. I know that you're paying McManus, but man, if you're not getting results, I don't care. Let's get the guy who's putting in results.
You know, Parker, you mentioned the split. I think we split because of the contract is what happened. Is everybody's looking at dollars and not at the cents. They're looking at just the contract and going, hey, we're paying this guy. We got to probably roll with the guy that we're paying. But they did sign Haversick to a futures contract. So Haversick is a Packer at the moment. And he is somebody that I'm sure will be in the mix for me throughout the summer. So, you know, here my overall reaction to all of you guys talking, though, is that this was much more polite of a debate than anything I've seen on social media in the past weeks.
So,
congratulations, guys, for being measured and intelligent in your responses. Social media has been a cesspool since that Packers-Bears game last week. I appreciate all of you guys for your insights, as always, and another fun week here on Make the Call. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Coming up next, Jake Kokorowski, a Badger Observer, on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Happy Saturday morning to you. Welcome back. It is just past 7:30 here on Make the Call. Jimmy Cuska here with you, and the rest of the way you're going to be hearing for some other voices besides our roundtable. It's a big day because, first of all, it's a Badgers game day for basketball. They get Rutgers later today. But also because the transfer portal window has now reached its conclusion, and we can now look back and take a look and take stock of what Badgers football has added to the roster. And, Jake, that's where we're going to start, I think, is just on the transfer portal, because it was interesting. I had this moment when UW Communications put out the release that they had a transfer portal tracker. And I thought to myself, you know, we had these pages for when they announced the freshman recruiting classes, right? When we'd get just a list of all the high schoolers coming to Wisconsin. It was pretty standard every year. But now the transfer portal, and for Wisconsin's case, even bigger than the high school recruiting thing, because there are more transfers coming in than we had recruits announced from the high school class this year.
Right. You know, and as of, you know, let's just say as of Friday, I mean, they've announced 26 signees from the transfer portal, which is a huge, right? Wisconsin, I'm not mistaken, had 14 freshmen that were signed as part of this 2026 class. And then on top of that, 12 of them are early enrollees. So they're already on campus and they're going to start their winter conditioning soon. So you have that, right? And then 26 players, and there's a couple of them that have been reported. Liam Danitz, who's a D3 player from Hope College in Michigan, making a big jump. Wisconsin's signed someone from D3 before. I mean, Paul Chris back in the day signed someone by the name of Ryan Ramczyk, who, you know, after he sat out a year, became, you know, an All-American tackle, if I'm not mistaken, and then a first-round draft pick and had a good long NFL career. You also, even last year, Matt Young from, coming from Nina, but he was at D3 Bethel and was like the defensive player of the year for D3. And then you saw how much time he got. And a lot of that was due to injury this past season with Preston Zachman. But you have with Wisconsin, you know, those players. You also, there's also one more player, Deuce Adams, who's from Louisville, was a quarterback. I think Pete Thamel from ESPN had first announced that, but he, you know, Wisconsin has not formally announced him, I guess you could say. But yeah, it's a lot of players. They did address some key needs in the portal, I feel. I mean, there's also a decent amount going out too, but you know, Wisconsin's gonna, this is a critical offseason for Wisconsin, where the schedule is not as strenuous. It's not one of the toughest, from at least from what it looks like right now. You can never tell with the amount of roster turnover there is these days. Yeah, you got Notre Dame to begin with, but you know, you're not having an Ohio State or others, or an Oregon this year, or I don't think an Indiana as well. So that's good. But you're also, you know, it's going to be very interesting when spring ball kicks up in about 2.5, 3 months, just how they start meshing 42 some odd players heading, you know, that are new. And yeah, it's going to be very interesting to watch. And what's going to be, like I said, a very critical, very crucial offseason for this program.
There's been a big call for change at Wisconsin. And I know people, like fans, social media, they're calling for change at head coach, but you look at the roster and just the changes made here, and I wonder just out loud, you know, is this part of that promise to invest more in this? Because I just wonder, like, you know, is this the when they decided, when UW administration decided, hey, you know, we're sticking by Luke Fickell, we're going to keep things going, like, we're going to invest in everything. I just wonder if this is kind of that outcome of that, in that all of a sudden we're seeing over 24 transfer ins, and then, you know, and all these changes, especially quarterback. Quarterback just seems like that's always been a need, but I wonder about that. I really like that this feels like an assertive move to change some things that might have been a little broken the last year or two in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, you do see with Wisconsin, I mean, they got a quarterback, and you know, they've had to go to the portal again for the fourth straight season, and obviously it's not great, but let's be honest, Indiana's done it. You know, Miami's done it. Many others have done it. And they got Colton Joseph, who's a quarterback from Old Dominion, Sun Belt Offense Player of the Year, can do everything with his, you know, feet, and has a strong arm downfield. So you can do that. But then you also have, you know, so they were aggressive with, you know, landing the quarterback that they wanted. You've seen some good things when it comes to the offensive line. And, you know, like I said, you know, you're talking about being assertive that way. And with the discussion through Chris McIntosh, I know Zach Heilprin, our colleague, had tweeted out that letter that about the, you know, however you want, investments, I think is the words that he used, or part of the words that he used. But yeah, you're seeing that they replaced a lot of players, and they called it like the high school players. High school recruiting, by the way, will still be very important. I don't think people, I know that there's been an emphasis on the transfer portal, and yeah, it's kind of taken over as a quick fix to revamp, and you're not really rebuilding a roster, you're reloading. But, you know, high school recruiting will still be prevalent and it will be important. Wisconsin just picked up, you know, their second commit for the 27 class in Coors Loken, the consensus four-star in-state recruit from Iola Scandinavia, which is a huge pickup for Wisconsin. It's going to be it's a very talented 2027 class for Wisconsin. They need to keep those players home. So, but yeah, it is a way where they needed to address quarterback. They needed to address the offensive line, where they, at, you know, as of Saturday morning, there are four offensive line commits right now, or four offensive line transfer signees. You also have, they had to address, you know, they've addressed defensive line with picking up, you know, signing three defensive linemen, because they had four players, you know, Ben Barton, Brandon Lane Jr., JVR Selex, Parker Peterson, all exhausted their eligibility and are trying to go to the NFL. You also have, you know, but they've also, like, the secondary, they've addressed bringing in, gosh, over a half dozen, it feels like. Let me take a look, making sure they have about six new faces in the secondary between cornerbacks, safeties, nickelbacks, however you want to say them. So, yeah, it is assertive. It's, I know part of me, and I'm sure a lot of people feel this way, is like trying to do the whole developmental way of you know, it's been Wisconsin's characteristic of, it's been defining the program of building these guys up and taking like 2 stars to 4 stars or 3 stars to 5-star talent, you know, production, and, you know, moving up to the NFL. That will still happen. And you saw that with Cooper Catalano, Mason Posa, right, as freshmen stepping in and asserting themselves. But, you know, I wrote in Badger Observer this, you know, past season, you know, Luke Fickell, I mean, what they're looking for is that, you know, if you're, unless you're an offensive lineman or defensive lineman, they're expecting you to at least like contribute in some fashion, or work towards being in, you know, contributing in some fashion. It could be special teams, right? So it's still there, because you're also getting a lot of transfers with extra years of eligibility. Some of these guys are, it's not just one and dones. You know, a lot of them aren't one and done. So you have these players coming that have multiple years of eligibility that they can further develop as well. So yeah, it's a transfer portal here to stay. And I think it's and obviously I think the one thing that we need to do too is, and we can argue all we want how the game's ruined or whatnot. I don't think it's ruined. It's just throughout its history, college football has always evolved. I think the next step's collective bargaining, and that's when I think you see less of the transfer portal rolling through, where player, you know, if they get collective bargaining and actual contracts that lock them up for multiple years, that's when things go down. That's when the quote unquote Wild West will be tamed. But until then, and we'll see just how many people can agree on things. That's always seems like college football, no one can agree on anything. It's until it's way too late for it to agree. We'll see what happens going forward.
Jay Kokorowski with Badger Observer. Check out badgerobserver.com. Sign up and get the Badgers news delivered right to your inbox every day, whether it's on recruiting or transfer portal or obviously the game results and things happening on the court. And that's where I want to talk next, Jake, is because we had spent time around the holidays talking about how Badgers basketball had these opportunities to get big wins. And unfortunately, you know, playing some of these top teams, didn't have a good result. You know, I think in Nebraska, that game, the blowout, the holiday event, getting to face some top teams early on and just not picking up that marquee win. Well, now they have a quad one win, and that came last week. And I don't know how much it changes kind of the outlook on this team, but it was nice to see that they can get a win over a top team. Where are we going from here with Badgers? I mean, it's a long season. We have a lot of conference games to go. They play Rutgers today, got Penn State next. But I think the fact that they got that big win out of the way, I think in a certain way, not to say it legitimizes them because we knew they were a good team, but it's a big check mark in that resume in getting to that postseason spot they want to get to.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It's okay to say it's like getting them off a terrible streak where – you know, you lose to TCU, you lose, we talked about it before, you know, then losing to Villanova and then losing to Purdue like they did, to Nebraska like they did, which, by the way, Nebraska undefeated as of Friday. What?
Nebraska ball is just, I don't get it. But they're obviously doing well.
I mean, and we can also talk about the transfer portal being a great way of also evening out things in basketball, in the basketball court, right? So, but yeah, I mean, Wisconsin's sitting 4-2 in the conference, right in the 3-game winning streak now. A lot's changed since we talked last week, but they're also 12-5, overall. Middle of the pack, but, a little bit like top third-ish, a little bit of top half for sure of the Big Ten heading into the game against Rutgers. And Rutgers is 2-4, they're 9-8 in the year. You know, you talk about Penn State, they play Penn State next, 0-6 and 9-8 overall. 0-6 in the conference, 9-8 overall. And then they also have Southern Cal, County, which, right now they're hovering at 500 in the conference too. So it's a little bit of here's the thing, Big Ten basketball, you can't quit whatsoever. You can't take any opponent lightly because, you see what happened even with Wisconsin at Michigan. Watching that game last weekend, along with watching Coors Loken for football, the 27 commit announced on the Navy All-American Bowl. I was going back and forth on my YouTube TV there, dual screen there, but you have, this is a team where, obviously when they realize they shoot better, good things will happen. You've also, the biggest thing is their defense, first and foremost, in containing, foes, especially in the paint, and also just keeping assignments and making sure they're switching off and everything like that if they can, and then, making sure no one has open shots. But, the biggest thing, right, there's a stretch, right, where, gosh, against Milwaukee, shot under 20%. Same thing against Purdue. And then, they're shooting over, 42% in the last two wins. And that's included 45% from deep at Ann Arbor. Like, that's what you want. And you're seeing the reemergence of John Blackwell getting off having three straight games of 17 points or more. He's had 53 in the last two games. Two and he's shooting lights out, 17 of 30 from the field, and 9 of 15 from 3-point range in the last two wins, including that game winner at the barn against Minnesota. So you're seeing those guys contribute. Again, it's Nolan Winter doing what Nolan Winter things there, Nick Boyd being a spark plug and being able to drive to the lane and create opportunities, not just for him, but for his other teammates. And you're seeing other guys step up. Like when John Blackwell's on, this is like a duh point, right, Jimmy? John Blackwell's on, good things are going to happen. And so you have those guys, but it's also just you need those fourth and fifth guys to step up. And, you know, and Braden Carrington, gosh, what he's done is remarkable for this team early. And I think that you can't forget that part because of just, you know, he may just be averaging 6.5 points per game, but this is a kid that also, you know, was a Minnesota Gopher, went and then, you know, transferred elsewhere, came back to the Big Ten. And yeah, he's just been really impressive where having double digit games, 12 points at Michigan and 21 points against at Minnesota. So good things coming for the Badgers. We'll see if they can keep it up.
Rutgers later today, which you'll hear on several civic media stations around the company. That is happening today. Also, some Badgers hockey wrapping up last night. We'll have more coverage on WFHR later on as well. Jay Kokorowski, Badger Observer and BadgerObserver.com. Thanks for your time, and talk to you again next week.
Awesome. You guys have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
This is Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
One final time here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network. I'm Jimmy Cuska, Sports Director here at Civic Media. And before we let Mike Clemens tell us all about things coming up in sports throughout the weekend, including the Wisconsin Badgers taking on Rutgers later today, you'll hear it on many of these Civic Media radio stations. I wanted to take a moment to let you know that we have on our stations over 700 locally originating broadcasts per year. And that's not hyperbole. We had over 550 last year. And then this school year, from the start of August till the end of July, we are scheduled to have over 700 locally originating games. That's high school, that's local colleges, that's local teams across Civic Media and all of our stations. And I just thought it was important to bring up today because we've offered already just in this calendar year, we offered three hockey tournaments, the national championship game in Division III football with UW River Falls, and obviously a ton of high school basketball and hockey events to start the new year. So I wanted to make sure that if you are looking for games, if you are looking for a high school game or a local event, a community event to tune into, make sure you check out the website of the station you're listening to this on right now. Some stations aren't airing a lot of games, which is fine. There's some stations that are just overly committed to programming, and I get it. But there are a lot of stations around the state that are airing sports programming, and you can find a number of them, especially in northern Wisconsin. And you can find them by going to your local station websites. A full list of stations is available at civicmedia.us/stations. And from there, you can pick the market closest to you. You can pick a format maybe you like and listen to the music ahead of the game and then after the game as well. Find your local sports broadcast on the homepage of any website. This is for any station that's in Wisconsin, of course. It extends to Michigan and to Minnesota for our stations in those states as well. But make sure you check that out. It is a really cool deal. And we have more than just the roundtable, more than just myself and Mike Clemens, who you'll hear from in a second. You also have a lot of very dedicated local high school sports broadcasters around the state. Big thanks to Parker, Conrad, Gray, and Jake for joining me. Mike Clemens gives you a sports update now. This has been Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network. Have a great weekend, everybody.
What's up with the Bucks? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks taking a break this weekend. On Monday, Martin Luther King Day, they'll host the Atlanta Hawks at Fiserv Forum, tip-off time at noon. The Bucks have lost three in a row and in double digits. On Tuesday night, they lost at home to the Timberwolves by 33 points, 139-106. And things got so bad, the hometown fans booed the team as they headed to the locker room at halftime. Giannis Antetokounmpo responded by booing back. It didn't get much better Thursday, when they lost to the Spurs in San Antonio, 119-101, head coach Doc Rivers.
We got our play, guys. We generated, let me say this, before the game, if you had told us we shot 48 threes, what would you have thought? Yeah, and we probably won the game. We didn't make them. The fouling and the missed threes, long rebounds got them out running. That hurt us. But the fouling killed us.
The Bucks tried to rebound in the second half. Giannis after the loss.
Coming out of the half, I think Ryan had three wide open threes that if one of them goes in, night's whole totally different game. We're rolling, we're moving, feeling good about ourselves, but none of them went in, going the other way. They were making tough shots. Wemby had one falling away from the wing. Guys were driving, they had some offensive rebound. And they just kept having the momentum, and the lead was just bigger and bigger and bigger.
So the Bucks have played 41 games so far this season. They're at the halfway point with a record of 17 wins and 24 losses in 11th place in the Eastern Conference, two spots away from making it to the playoffs. Men's college basketball, Marquette losing at DePaul last night, 80-75. DePaul improves to 11-7. The Golden Eagles now 8-13 for the season. The Wisconsin Badgers, though, are riding high. They host Rutgers today, 1 p.m. at the Kohl Center in Madison. The Badgers with a three-game winning streak. A week ago today, they pulled off a huge upset, 91-88, at number two-ranked Michigan. Head coach Greg Gard interviewed on CBS Sports.
How many text messages were on your phone when you went to the locker room after the game?
Over 100. Most all the former coaches and ADs I've worked with and for. And no, it was fun. Obviously, a terrific game against a really, really good team, and proud of our players. And locker room obviously was very celebratory afterwards.
NFL, the Packers' season over after losing to the Bears 31-27 in the wild card playoffs last weekend. And the big question all week has been, after 7 years, should Matt LaFleur still be the head coach? I spoke with running back Josh Jacobs.
I see him, you know, putting extra work every day. And I know what he means to the players. So, I mean, speaking for myself, I'm going to stand firm on, you know, wanting him to be the head coach and wanting him to figure something out with him.
Packers tight end Tucker Kraft.
Well, I don't think there's anyone else that, I mean, how complex of an offense that we run. Well, first I'll start off with Matt. Matt's been nothing but generous to me, my wife, and my family since we've been here. I mean, constant communication with me ever since I was a rookie. He's just trying to get the best out of each and every one of his players. And he comes in with the right mentality every single day to coach us up to be the best version of ourselves for the best legacy team in the NFL. I don't think there's another coach that could come in and do it as well as he does it, especially with the complexities that are in this offense. When you get players that get into year three in this offensive tree, like the offensive knowledge that we retain year after year, it's only getting better here. Matt, I think Matt's an outstanding head coach. There's no doubt in my mind that he'll remain here as a Packer. I think a lot of that talk is pretty silly, but yeah.
Now, a report this morning in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says that LaFleur was spotted at the American Club in Kohler, Wisconsin, having a drink with GM Brian Gutekunst and CEO and President Ed Policy, which seems like the two sides are working on a new contract for the head coach. I asked Ed Policy about when Mark Murphy changed the structure of the team to have the coach and the GM report to the team president, and the decision to hire Matt LaFleur from the Titans.
Yeah, well, I was with Mark. I was in the room with Mark when he decided to make that change, and you know, I think he made it for sound reasons, and I think it's worked out well so far. I really do. I think we've got three excellent people in football leadership positions right now, and they're all working extremely well together. So I, you know, you just can't argue with results. I think it's worked. I would continue to keep that structure for the time being and continue to keep those three individuals in their current roles. You know, we've got flexibility. If we ever feel that structure is not working for us, we can certainly change the structure to whatever form we think would be best. Ultimately, we're here to do what's best for the Green Bay Packers organization, so that's what we'll do.
As Packers president and CEO Ed Policy with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.